Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Tinker, thank you for that help right there. My man, love Tinker for coming through. It has been a good day, man, and we've been talking about a lot of things. Braves, you know, they didn't play yesterday, and certainly we're concerned about the offensive numbers that we didn't produce on Saturday. They had 10 runs on Friday. We're going to talk with Grant McCauley coming up at about 5:40. But as we get into the 5 o'clock hour, and we're done tonight at 6 because we do have the national championship game. Mike mentioned it, pregame show at 6 o'clock tonight, and we'll carry the game between Houston and Florida. We'll talk more about that before the end of the show. The Falcons bring back a familiar name today, Mike. A guy that both of us kind of thought, all right, they'll be moving on from him, and maybe they'll bring in somebody else.
Yeah, D. Alford is back, and as we said, now we don't know what the actual coverages were, but I can tell you this. Whatever it was supposed to be, that sequence in Minnesota.
Ugly.
Where we gave up big play after big play, but the most just egregious moment would have been when D. Alford was losing a beat on Justin Jefferson and was literally crab walking, you know, down the hash mark, and Justin Jefferson just basically backed into the end zone. He's back. So D. Alford is back. He battled presumably with Clark Phillips for one of the nickel jobs, depending on what we do if we go for corner in the draft. Maybe we'll have a starting rookie corner. But I was a little bit surprised that D was brought back.
I am
now,
too.
It doesn't mean he's going to make the roster.
True.
Necessarily.
I think it's more of a depth and familiarity move. I don't think, right. By the way, when you keep, you know, pretty much your secondary coaches intact, again, you bring in a guy that's experienced in calling plays and Jeff Ulbrich, and Brick's going to – I don't think they're going to stray away too far from the fundamental principles of what Raheem wants to do. This is why this mesh is going to work. But that also means you need guys that are familiar. And I think bringing him back, to your point, is just a depth move. But we'll see. Either way, it does not detract from what they're going to do in the draft. They still have a plan, and they're going to do that. And before we get into some of this draft stuff, Mike, and we're going to be more engaged and talking more about it, specifically with our Falcons guys, but how the teams in front of us could affect that as we about, you know, two and a half weeks or so away from the NFL draft on the 24th of this month. Julio Jones officially retired on Friday. And I said this earlier, it happened late in the show, and both of, you know, you and I were over at Murph's getting ready for the home opener with the Braves, and we were like, oh, okay, it's official. He's turned in his paperwork. He's making the announcement on 404 day. Great. But as we've had this discussion about Julio, it's twofold. One is he going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer? Is he one of the best Falcons ever? We know he is. That is debatable about whether you think he is, and I'm going to explain why I think he is as well. The other discussion is, what was Julio's connection to Atlanta? During his playing career, do you think he really connected with the city? Now, we were all for Julio, Mike. We love what he was able to do on the field. But it's been part of our discussion today, and a lot of people have chimed in on this, man.
Yeah, a lot of guys said nothing against Julio, but they felt like a lot of guys echoing sentiments of you, me, Gordon, who's engineering our broadcast up here at Twin Peaks, that Roddy White was like my favorite Falcon receiver, and Roddy had that heart, and thinking of him talking that ish to Richard Sherman,
yeah,
you know, in the divisional round of the 2012 playoffs, and just Roddy having that dog, being a wrestler, and just a tough guy. And look, and Julio was a rock star. We get it. Just, you know, again, there's different strokes for different folks. I said no one knows anything much about Marvin Harrison, the senior, because he was the same guy. He never said a word up in Indianapolis. He's a Hall of Famer. His top 10, his numbers are insane. I just love the fact that, you know, Peyton and him connected for so many more touchdowns, unfortunately, than Matt and Julio did. And this is one of those things that you and I loved when we saw Drake London get that pass from Penix after they missed on the first try, the second try against Carolina.
Went right back.
And again, I know it's just one game early in a guy's career, but it's just one of those things. We never, ever got the production in the red zone with Julio that we should have. And as we said a million times, Julio can't throw the ball to himself, and that's why we used to joke around about should Julio be in those OTAs and those mini camps and working on chemistry, and some guys said, nah, that's BS. But the one thing missing from Julio's resume is he should have probably had 15, 20 more touchdowns. Easy for us to say, but he's so skilled. He was the best, most physical athlete out there. The other thing was, you know, he was the guy that we used to debate with our audience. So good between the 20s, because he'd be making the tough catch, going over the middle, moving the chains. Sometimes he wasn't on the field for all three downs because, you know, that's the wear and tear. But what's Julio's legacy? First ballot, second ballot? I mean, second year of eligibility. You think he's first ballot?
I do. And listen, for me, I am more
66 in touchdowns, but that's just about the same number as Michael Irvin.
I am more about, and this is just how I look at it, okay? It may not be how you look at it, and certainly the folks that are going to vote on this, they'll look at it differently because the numbers do matter. But at any point during Julio's prime, was he considered the best wide receiver in the NFL? And the answer is yes. So not only was he the best at his position, he was top three at his position for a long time. And how he impacted the game, how much better he made the team, how Mike teams had to game plan for Julio matters. When you talk to people in the NFL, it's not, oh, he caught this or he didn't catch this on this Sunday. It was we had to know where 11 was. All of those kinds of things matter. But I'm going to give you a number that I think people are going to look at. And I'll tell you, everybody on this list is going to the Hall of Fame or already in. And that is yards per route run. Now, again, I don't want to get into the minutiae of this. All I'm telling you is Julio leads all receivers with at least 500-plus catches since 2011 in yards per route run. And when you put him on this list, you go Julio Jones, you go Rob Gronkowski, and what I'm telling you is yards per route that he ran, caught a football, he has the most of any receiver from 2011. That includes Antonio Brown. Regardless of what you think about him, he was a great wide receiver. Tyreek Hill, do you guys think he's going to Hall of Fame with what he's done already? Julio Jones' numbers are better in yards per route run. I think those kinds of things, Mike, on top of the fact, let's not forget, and I know we didn't win the game, y'all can say what you want. This dude had 9 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns in the NFC Championship game. I mean, the catch in the Super Bowl, Mike and I, we talk about this all the time.
It should have been
the game winner.
It should have been.
It should have been.
That would have been Julio's lasting legacy. He makes this unbelievable toe-tap catch, and then we fall down 3 times, he kick a field goal, and we hang on to beat the Patriots. Not the way it went down. Tariq Hill, I mean, he's got a lot of touchdowns. I know that right now, Mike Evans, by the way, Mike Evans got 105 touchdowns.
Yes.
Julio Jones has got 66.
Yes.
But this goes back. But think about this. Mike Evans had a slew of guys throwing him the football.
I've talked about it.
You know, Tom Brady for a minute, but it was Jameis. It was a lot of journeymen.
Yes.
Now Baker Mayfield.
Bums.
And it's funny, guy, by the way, just hit us up. We were talking about, and again, this is, I don't want to get it twisted for guys listening at home. We're just saying, an enigma is not a bad thing. It just means we never got to know Julio. Kept his own counsel, close to the vest. Never saw, God knows, we never interviewed Julio. I mean, I covered Julio's entire career and never interviewed him once on the radio.
So did I. I mean, he got here in 11, right?
Right.
I mean, like, so the bottom line is.
And you and I were here for most of those years together. We had, one time we interviewed him, was it 30 seconds at Flowery Branch?
Well,
and the question was, Matt, was it Sanu or Matt said,
yes.
We think both Sanu and Julio could be 1,000-yard receivers. That's their opinion.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Now, he was joking, but it was just kind of weird.
The first year of the radio station, when Cordell was with me, and we went up to camp and we're there, and we interviewed Julio, and he was cool. He was fine. The deal was always this. When I had a chance to visit with Julio, he just wasn't ever going to give you anything. He was never going to allow himself, Mike, to be vulnerable to the fan base. It was always guarded. And I get that. But part of that is, how can I love you if you don't let me in? Right? I see you performing on Sunday, but like that, there's something to that. And this is what I've been talking about when I say, hey, Julio was a tremendous player, appreciate what he did, but at the end of the day, did he connect with the community and the people? I'm in the streets. People don't come up to me and go, man, Julio, that's my dude. No. I don't get that.
No, it's just a different guy. Guys like Warrick Dunn come through. You know what his legacy is here in Atlanta and around the country. One guy just hit us up on Twitter. He said, Julio did donate over $100,000 to Lake Lanier.
Because he lost an earring?
Yes.
Come on, man.
That's the joke. Somewhere in Lake Lanier, there's a $100,000 diamond earring. Didn't Julio hire, like, divers?
He did.
I mean, they had, like, a diving bell go down there.
Bro, you ain't finding that up there.
Apparently, they had the USS Dallas was down there looking in Lake Lanier for the earring. But, no, I mean, as we said earlier.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You don't have to be the guy
who wears $100,000 diamond studs while you're jet skiing.
Not a good idea.
Who does that?
And that was one of those things we still laugh about. But conversely, last year we talked to Kirk Cousins, and I'm like, wow, man, look at this. Guy's actually coming up with the media, talking to us. He's engaged with us. And now, hypothetically, what's worse? Because Julio Jones never spoke with us, but he did the job every day on the field. And Kirk Cousins is a freaking fraud. Kirk Cousins is a phony who loves the microphone, never saw a camera or a light that was on he wasn't going to go talk to.
I was like, man, he's legit.
Come on, B. He's not here anymore. But the reason why you love Grady Jarrett is because he was authentic.
It's real.
That's why you love Grady Jarrett.
He wore his heart on his sleeve, but he also spoke.
Brady. Come on, man. but whether or not you thought he played well, or you didn't know, or what effect you had on the game, you love Grady because he was authentic.
Right.
That is what I'm talking about, the difference. And again, I'm not saying he didn't answer all the questions, but again, I've been doing this a long time, man. I'm just telling you.
There's just guys of all the Falcons. Right now, you tell me right now. You've been watching the Falcons since 98. Who's your favorite Falcon? It's Roddy White. Okay? Who's your second favorite? It would be Grady Jarrett. Right? Right off the top of my head. You know? Take it back to the old days. I love Jesse Tuggle.
Well,
you know, I mean, Big Chuck Smith. There was a vibe. There was something about it.
But I also think, Mike, as time went on, guys became more reserved and less willing to allow you in. That group you're talking about with Chuck and those guys?
Big personalities.
Right. From the running back to the defensive end to the safety, big personalities.
Now, Warrick Dunn is a low-key guy, but he does his work in the community. You know it.
He's connected.
Correct.
People know what he's about. And that is all I'm saying about Julio. Great career. And by the way, I do think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But as we lay out these numbers, to Mike's point, there are guys who have been more prolific than what Julio has done. But he is arguably, this is not even close, the best wide receiver we've seen in this franchise's history. And I thought he lived up to it. I know we took a chance, Mike, and that's been debated.
Right.
But I thought he lived up to it.
That's also, and it was a blessing and the curse of Julio Jones was everything you just said. First ballot Hall of Famer, potentially. But then, do you dedicate those kind of resources and assets to a wide receiver in a league where you could argue, and then Arthur Blank put his foot in his mouth by saying he's going to be a Falcon for life.
Yeah.
He asked for a raise. He did the same thing Tariq Hill did. He asked for a raise 2 years after getting his contract, which really jammed us up against the cap.
Yeah, and remember, they were like, it's not new money. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we moved that money forward. Okay, great.
But one last note on Hulk, we got to catch a break. The fourth down play to win the game against the Eagles, that's unfortunately Matt and Julio's dysfunction in the red zone. Now, yeah, the Eagles mugged him. The refs didn't have the balls to call that pass interference at the end of the game. But we never, I don't think, maximized Julio's athleticism and Matt's abilities for whatever reason in the red zone. They never on the same page.
The other thing, I'll say this about the Hall of Fame, he's got a lot of wow moments. Going over the top of people, making amazing catches, toe taps. He's got a lot of those. And that goes a long way with guys who are like, man, I forgot how good he was. When they start to see that stuff, they're going to vote the right
way. Hey, one last nugget. D-Led asking the question today on social media, Mike Green considered the most skilled pass rusher ready to go in this draft?
Allegedly.
Other than Abdul Carter? But does he have the right ethos for the Falcons?
Well, listen, if there is a Falcon filter, shame on these guys. Can we win?
Please. At this point, I don't care.
I'm tired of talking about what a guy's character is. Right. We got enough character dudes in the building.
Was a guy ever charged with anything? Then I don't want to hear about it.
All right, we're coming back, man. Strong arm story of the day is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by...
Talk about our Braves coming up with Grant McCauley here in about 15 minutes. Mike, let's talk about tonight's national championship game and how we got here. Final Four over the weekend was incredible. Florida is back in a championship game, trying to win one for the first time since the mid-2000s. Obviously, Houston has never won. And the thing with Houston is, and I said this earlier, full disclosure, for 10 years I called their games, and I know the ups and downs of that program. To see them get back for a chance to win, and to see all the guys that are, you know, they're standing on their shoulders, Mike, whether it's Akeem or, you know, Clyde Drexler, Elvin Hayes, all those great teams, we forget. They lost, you know, Elvin Hayes lost to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right?
And Guy Lewis, the famous, you know, March Madness, the famous, you know, Valvano NC State, that's at the expense of the Houston Cougars. By Slamajama.
The year after that, they lose to Patrick Ewing, okay? So they've had great runs, but they've never really gotten it done. I say all that to say, on the other side, it's 39-year-old Todd Golden with the Florida Gators, who finds himself, you know, here with the chance to again, win another national title for Florida. But I do think these two teams match up really well. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I know everybody thought the Duke game was going to get that way when they got the 14-point lead, and the Cougars found their way back into it. What I don't think people realize tonight, Mike, is they are the – best three-point shooting team in the country. They're shooting 40% as a team. I'm talking about Houston. Like that.
You think of the Florida Gators as the better three-point shooting team.
But they also shoot the three better than anybody else.
It just felt like, as an Auburn fan, any time that, you know, you were getting some headway, boom, Florida would hit that big three. We talked earlier about Duke I don't know what to say. You went 5.5 minutes without scoring a basket. Everybody who's a Duke fan losing their minds about Cooper Flagg getting the foul call going over the top of Juwan Roberts.
It was a foul.
I mean, either way, guys, he makes his free throws, and Duke blew this game. You had a big lead, and you blew it. And Houston played with more poise. We talked about L.J. Crier. He's already been part of a championship team with Baylor, you know, being in the Final Four for Houston.
Yes.
So, I mean, you've got guys with that big, you know, big-time experience in the pedigree. By the way, you mentioned the legacy of all the great Houston players who came up short. Really, I don't know what they do and who they have working security. Did you see Hakeem Olajuwon couldn't celebrate?
Yeah.
They had some guy, some Nimrod.
Yeah.
And he's obviously got his Houston gear on. He's Hakeem Olajuwon, couldn't get on the floor.
Yeah, it was stupid. There were a lot of former – obviously, whenever your team gets there, your guys show up. But there were a lot of former players.
And they're
players.
In Texas, right.
Yeah, but there were a lot of former players, guys that I'm still in contact with. And Clyde, you know, for two of the years that I did the games, the first year I did the games, Clyde Drexler, they asked him to coach. And so Clyde said, sure, I'll take it over. And what's he do? He goes out and gets the best recruiting class they've ever had at the time. This is 2000-ish. And he goes out and gets the top players, like not only from the state of Texas. I mean, he went and got some kid I remember from New York. Like it's Clyde Drexler.
He's doing it all.
So they're like, of course I want to come play. And Clyde was not committed to it, Mike, so he only stayed 2 years. But my first 2 years, we traveled, we did everything. Clyde is the best dude you'll ever meet. And the point is, They are all hungry for an opportunity to say we finally got over the hump. So all those guys are there, man, and to see Hakeem not be able to get on the floor, that was a travesty. But I guarantee you if they win it tonight, all those guys, you'll see all those guys on the floor.
Right.
Jim Nance was there. Jim Nance is a Houston guy. Right. I mean, Jim goes to all these tournament games when he wasn't working. He was always supportive. He's given a lot of money to the school. Bottom line, he was there with his son. I mean, guys were sending me pictures. Hey, Jim's here. Say hello. So all of that will play out tonight. But I don't know, Mike, if they've got enough to beat Florida because Florida looked incredible against Auburn in the last 5 to 8 minutes of that game.
Nothing against Ian Eagle. I just still like Jim Nance better.
He's great.
You know, because you're so used to hearing him over the years and having the best gig in sports where you call the Final Four and then you make it to the Masters. You mentioned him and Fred Couples were roommates in college back in the old days in Houston. So, yeah, I'm pulling for Houston. Can't pull for Florida. No discussion whatsoever about the Title IX investigation down in Florida.
Yeah.
About the coach, which is still, I mean, yes, we're a little petty here in Georgia and maybe rightly so with Florida, but a lot of folks wondering just what exactly happened there. How that thing kind of
it just died.
Went away.
It just died.
You know?
Yeah.
And there were apparently multiple alleged co-eds that were receiving messages. It was reported at the time. But either way, they are in this championship, and they've been as clutch as can be. What do you think of the Auburn game? I thought if Broome's 100% because he looked like he was gimpy. There was a few times he made that unbelievable left hook. Man, guy was doing everything. But I just wonder if he was at full speed. Could have been a little bit different, especially when he was struggling to score.
Yeah,
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He didn't make excuses. He played, so I can't. I just don't think he had his full repertoire of offensive go-tos. And we're talking about, you know, on the block. He's a true post-up guy. It's old school from that way, but he could shoot the three. Matter of fact, back at the studio, let me hear Bruce Pearl, because he said this. And, Mike, I'm watching Saturday, and I'm like, did he just say his team looked tired in the second half? Okay, why? Like, what was the deal? Are we talking about mental fatigue? And I think Bruce Pearl realized they made more mistakes to allow Florida to get back into it, turnovers, silly things that they normally didn't do during the year. Here's Bruce Pearl. Pearl talking about not looking fatigued, or looking fatigued, should I say, and I'll let you hear that in 1 second.
But also, yeah, but also getting outscored 41-27 in the second half.
But Florida's a second-half team.
Right.
This is how they've operated all year. This is what I'm saying. Houston could even lead tonight. There's no lead is safe with either one of these teams. But in the second half specifically, Florida has outplayed all of their opponents.
It just seemed like any time there was a run or a momentum shift, it would be, amongst others, Walter Clayton Jr. hitting those big shots.
Yes.
For the Gators.
He was
sometimes
big.
It was three. Sometimes it was just getting to the stripe.
He was so big. Walter Clayton Jr., Mike, he put on a showcase of shot selection and stuff. I mean, he had runners off the glass. He was doing all kind of crazy stuff, and everything was falling for him. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we get ready to talk about the Braves, who have a day off, but tomorrow Phillies come into town. There are actually be in town tonight. Truist Park, Mike, this is a big Chris Sale back on the hill. It's
yes.
Going to be a big series. We're going to talk to Grant about it, but we have the national championship game tonight. And, once we get a chance, we'll play that Bruce Pearl for you, because I just thought that was an interesting comment. Here's Pearl talking about his team. Okay.
A couple of guys sent us some of the text line. Mike, why do you keep obsessing about Todd Golden? Because it happened.
It's true.
Okay, there was a story we talked about earlier this year that was kind of a big story in the SEC.
Yeah.
When a coach is involved with alleged sexual misconduct, albeit text messages, and there's a Title IX investigation, I mean, it's, you know, whether it's Jameis Winston or Todd Golden is going to get some. I just think it's kind of a big story that nothing seemed to happen unless it was just a bunch of nonsense. Okie dokie.
Yeah,
I mean, we're just, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, we do know that, and it was funny, we just talked to one of our listeners at the bar who's been showing everybody how you hit the inside pitch.
Yeah, he was telling Austin Riley, this is what he should be doing.
But he was talking about, you know, in the conversation we're having earlier at the bar is how players get in trouble in Athens, and this has nothing to do with all the, we're not talking about the motor vehicle stuff, but just remember the old days, the Picune stuff, like getting busted for weed.
Yeah.
And just how does it work in other, see, I just don't think that every jurisdiction handles the student-athlete the same way.
Same way. And that's why some of this stuff doesn't get out as much as it does.
But that's why
places.
I brought up the Golden situation.
Yeah, it's fair. Either way, he's got a chance. Todd Golden, 39 years old. Kelvin Sampson is 69. I said this earlier. He is third Final Four. Maybe tonight is his lucky night.
Man, I hope he gets it. Maybe you said, speaking of investigations, that nonsense about the text messages
crazy.
In Oklahoma back in the day.
That's crazy. All right, guys, what's going on with the Braves? Why are we still not able to consistently score runs? We did Friday night. It was an explosion. Saturday, not so much. Grant McCauley joins us. There's other Braves news that we've got to get to with Grant, including what they did with the catcher situation. We'll tell you all about it next. Grant McCauley, let's talk about what's going on with our Braves. No game yesterday as the weather postponed that one against the Marlins. Friday was fun, man, and thanks for coming out and hanging out with us at Merce. We had a great conversation. We leave, game starts, boom, we explode for 10 runs. We don't score any yesterday, and Grant, people are back to freaking out, including me. What's going on here, man?
Well, it sounds like what was missing was we didn't go to Murph's and we didn't have the cheese curds, so we can't expect the same results on a Saturday. I don't know. But, no, it remains troubling because you just look at this slow start, and we're not talking about one game. We're talking about, what, four now, I believe, where the Braves have scored one run or fewer. They've been shut out a couple of times. This hasn't looked like or felt like the offense that we were promised or the offense that we had come to know prior to the trials of 2024, which I was hoping, I don't know about you, that we would get into a new season and have new narratives that would feel a little bit different than the stuff we talked about time after time after time last year. But it's up to the Braves to figure out a way to turn the corner, to get re-energized, to get refocused, to get whatever adjustments it is that they need in place. Because, I mean, I can look at it the same way they do, which is, hey, we faced a couple of really tough teams to start the season. The Miami Marlins are not one of those tough teams. Obviously, they handled business on Friday. Then they got handcuffed on Saturday, and they were able to dodge having to face former Cy Young Award winner Sandy Alcantara on Sunday.
Right.
Parlay that into an extra off day, but you and I and Mike as well, you know the Philadelphia Phillies are going to come in, and they've got a pretty good pitching staff. So this club has got to figure out a way to find consistency. It's not about changing everything that they are and everything that they do, but there have to be some little adjustments in here, and some confidence, I think, would go a long way towards getting this club rolling again.
Yeah, taking two out of three against Philly, I think, would go a long way to doing that, Grant.
Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise, the other prospect, unfortunately, is being eight or nine games back in your division, and the Masters haven't even wrapped up yet. So that's a concern. I did like seeing the bats come alive. I thought one of the good storylines from yesterday, last year that carried over, saw it on Friday, is how good Schwellenbach looks.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and I've asked Brian Snitker a little bit about, you know, can you really be surprised at this point with what you've seen out of this kid? And he said, no, not at all. And he proved it last year, and he looks like he's even better this year. And he looked like he got better and more confident as he went along. I think when we talked about Spencer Schwellenbach a year ago, the phrase that came up all the time was mound presence. He didn't seem like just some rookie with not a lot of innings under his belt in his professional career. He seemed like a pitcher who went out there with a plan and had, you know, plenty of reps, and this was nothing new to him. It was kind of old hat, and I'm sure it wasn't, and I'm sure he made it look easier than it may have felt at times, but that's just kind of who this guy is. I mean, he can ramp up that fastball to 98 miles an hour. He throws six total pitches, by the way. None of them are a changeup, just for the record, and that is something that I think is kind of amazing, is that he is about, you know, hard fastballs, sinkers, slider, curveball, you know, two-seamers. It's just impressive to watch the conviction that he has with all of those pitches. He throws them more than 10% of the time. That is not a small thing. That means that he is pretty much willing to go with whichever pitch he feels like is going to give him the best result in pretty much any count to pretty much any hitter. And there are not a lot of pitchers out there, in my view, especially young guys that just burst onto the scene, that have that kind of confidence in that arsenal.
What do you think about the decision with the catching situation? I like it. I think Drake Baldwin has more upside. That's where I've been on this, even though he hasn't gotten the hits or the average isn't where we want it to be. What's your take on this, Grant?
It's interesting, right, that you may have thought, okay, well, the traditional line of thinking is he's a young player. He needs to play every day or get regular at-bats, so let's send him back down to Gwinnett and let him continue his development. And I think we can all know, and Drake Baldwin included, that, you know, coming into spring training, very likely that he was going to head to Gwinnett and just look to pick up where he left off last year and just continue to prove himself and obviously get more reps and develop. But I think that he's shown in the first week and a half that while, yes, he's hitting 154, he hasn't homered yet, I understand all of that. The Padres stole a bunch of bases on him and whatnot, but you start to look inside the numbers, the metrics of Drake Baldwin. I mean, he's in the 94th percentile in hard hit rate in Major League Baseball. Guys ahead of him on this team, Marcell Ozuna, he hits the ball pretty hard. Matt Olson hits the ball pretty hard, and pretty much nobody else is in front of Drake Baldwin. And he's doing all of this while I feel like having a really good approach at the plate. He doesn't strike out a lot. He'll draw his walks. He has a plan, to make a long story short. And I think that rewarding a player like this with the opportunity to stick and stay in the big leagues, even if his playing time isn't going to be the same, is the direct reflection of what Drake Baldwin has proved thus far and the fact that the Braves believe they're a better team with him than without him.
So our man Grant McCauley, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I saw the article about Ronald Acuna going to go see the specialist out in California. So I'll ask you for the third time in the last five questions, I guess, interviews, the question, when do we see Ronald Acuna up here? Because if anything else, I know he can provide a spark.
Yeah, I wonder who was the source for that article. No, I'm kidding. It's been a conversation that we've had in the last, like, week or so around the team, and a lot of people have been asking about it. What is that next step for Ronald? When can we start to put a timetable, put pen to paper on that? Not just pencil. Let's go ahead and mark this thing down and get him going. But he's got to go out to Los Angeles, get through that, I think, last really hurdle, no pun intended, to clear him for all the running activities with no restrictions whatsoever. That allows him to get more work in the outfield and get out on that rehab assignment. I still think he's going to need at least 2 weeks of that. I don't anticipate them changing his timetable altogether just to, you know, push something and force the offense to get moving again. I think you have to be really, really thoughtful, and I'm sure the Braves will be. They have been thus far, about how exactly they bring him along and not looking to create more expectation on him or, you know, force him into a situation where he's just not ready yet. And then you're not putting him in a position to succeed, and it may not help the team. So I think they're going to stay the course with this. I think we see him in early to mid-May.
How big is this series tomorrow, Grant, with the Phillies? I think it's Wheeler and Sale. It feels like, just because of the way things have gone, am I over-exaggerating this? I mean, like, it feels like this is a big deal early on here.
No, I mean, I'll give you this. It's as big as the series in April can get when you consider, I mean, you look at the standings, you're five or six games out in the first week and a half. Typically, that's a club that wasn't going anywhere to begin with and has just kind of, you know, resigned itself to its fate to get stepped on throughout the course of the year. But the Braves are not that. This is not a club that's just, oh, ho-hum, we'll just throw 26 guys out there and whatever happens this year is fine and we'll take some luxury tax money and turn a profit like some other teams. But this is a club that's off to a really bad start and needs wins in the worst way. It doesn't matter who they come against or how they, you know, are able to pile those things up. But now you get to face the first-place Phillies, a nemesis of this club. I talked a lot about that on From the Diamond on Sunday. And, you know, it just kind of is what it is. And you don't have to be, I think, looking at the Braves and saying, well, they're just not a very good team because they're off to this bad start. But they've got to start showing the signs of life. And there's no better time to start than, as Mike said, by taking two out of three to the Phillies to boost your confidence and get your season turned around and trending in the right direction.
I know the bats were not responding on Saturday. Unfortunately, A.J. Smith-Shawver, the pitch count got up there again, so he didn't make it through five. Is that a thing, or is that something Rick Kranitz is going to work on? I mean, how can they be a little more economical with his pitches?
Well, here's the problem that I saw in that is the two-out problem for A.J. Smith-Shawver. Opposing hitters are batting, I believe, 462 with a 1,400 OPS against him with two outs in an inning, and he's also issued, I believe, four walks. So if you want to throw gasoline on a fire, go ahead and start issuing walks and giving up runs with two outs. I mean, that's just a quick way to have a short night, and obviously the Braves are hoping that he's going to be able to get that whole thing under control. I watch him, and I see the same thing I think a lot of people do. There's a lot of promise in that arm. I really like his split finger. I think it's a great strikeout pitch. In fact, he throws that more than he throws his traditional four-seam fastball. But I saw a lot of four-seamers in the same inning that would be 93, then 97, then 95, then 92. And I'm just not really sure what's going on with some of those offerings. If you're, you know, worried about control, then, yeah, maybe you're taking a little bit off. But it doesn't really seem to be a problem for him altogether. But I think it's just about a young pitcher continuing to develop, and he's doing it at the big league level. And that's going to come with growing pains. But you're kind of in one of those places where I think the magnifying glass is out on every single thing that's not going right for the Braves right now. And that may or may not be fair to A.J. Smith-Shawver, if fair is indeed a thing that exists in the world.
I'm not worried about Austin Riley because I just feel like, you know, when you start talking about the if we were to do some kind of a graph, right, and you said, okay, I'm more worried about this guy, and we graphed it out, like, for me, I'm not – he's like one of the least guys that I would be worried about, and I know that it's a concern with the strikeouts and all of this. Tell me where you're at on Austin Riley right now.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about him either. I think that this is, again, a product of early in the season. You know, who has the most responsibility here? And I think Austin Riley's on that short list. I mean, you're going to look at the Rileys and the Olsons and the Albies and guys that have been here for a while as the ones that are going to have to step up right now and help kind of shepherd this team through this rough start and get them back to, you know, smoother waters and really what you expect to be more of a normal day-to-day for the Braves. And that's just not happening right now. And I think that that's been apparent since last year, that everybody has, I believe, taken a little bit more responsibility onto their shoulders, and maybe that has created some pressing. And in fact, I'm sure it has. And Brian Snitker's talked about it. Austin Riley, what, about a week ago, maybe, like last Wednesday? I don't think I've heard a player in April taking it quite as hard as I heard Austin Riley in his post-game comments. Just, I mean, the accountability's there. The self-responsibility's there. It won't necessarily change the results, but look, you're seeing it and you know it, and he's seeing it and he's aware of it too. So I think as much as anything, it's about adjusting that mindset and continuing to move forward and do the day-to-day stuff that helps you to, you know, be a successful player. And that's what all these guys are trying their best to do. It's just, for whatever reason, not working for Riley and some of the other guys right now. But no, I'm with you. I'm not overly concerned about him, but he's going to be one of the guys that has to get going for this Braves offense to truly hit its stride and start moving forward in the right direction.
Great stuff, Grant. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Big series starts against the Phillies. We're looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
Yep, thanks, guys.
All right, guys, let's get out of here and clear our throat. Hey, thanks to all of our guests. Connor Riley stopped by from Dog Nation. Tomorrow we've got a big show, not only that Braves series, but also what happens tonight, national title game. We're carrying that for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay tuned for that. We've got all the coverage. More on the Falcons as we get ready for the draft. Mike and G-Day as we count down to the spring game. Lots of stuff on tap. Mm. Wednesday we're in Augusta, by the way.
Yes, we'll be live at Twin Peaks. Come by and see us.
Hey, man, big shout-out to everybody that stopped by today. Got to give a big shout-out to the McEachern head basketball coach. He was out here hanging out today.
Good dude.
Yeah, and they're on break, and we got into a great conversation. So thanks so much for stopping by, and I told him I'd give him a big shout-out, man. But much love, and they do a great job over there with all their programs. Tinker, thank you. Thank all of the folks who said hello to us today and came through to have a nice cocktail. Gordon, our on-site engineer, back in the studio. Big O, thank you. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Mike Bell, let's get out of here. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, mentioned it in the Falcon Report. Dear Orlando Ledbetter, thanks, Mike. Talked about Mike Green from Marshall, formerly of UVA. And would he be a guy that, you know, some people feel is the best pure pass rusher not named Abdul Carter? And would that be a guy you'd be interested in with the Falcons? Are they concerned with the off-the-field stuff? He did have to leave UVA. There was never criminal charges about alleged sexual misconduct. Also had an incident in high school. Some folks are saying there were similar blemishes on Micah Parsons' resume when he was coming out of college. At this point, like I said, you do your due diligence. The NFL's got their own investigators. If you feel this guy's the guy, go get him. Because if he's the best pass rusher in the draft and he's there at 15, we got to take him.
If not now, when for the University of Houston? They've had great players. They've also had great teams. But after coming back from 14 down against Duke the other night, you have to believe that this is their moment. This is their time. And, Mike, sometimes you win these chips when you don't have the all-time greats. Maybe that's the case for the Cougs tonight. We'll see how it all shakes out. Thanks for being here. Hey, if you love this show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you come to the bar and show everybody how to hit.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.